You know, I was contemplating on what to share about cancer today. The only thing that really came to my mind was our weapon against it is prayer. It's really what we can do. It's not much else that's left for us, but we can pray. I don't know why God sometimes heals some. Sometimes he gives others some more time to live. I don't know why that is. I just know that I'm grateful for those. God says it's okay to be around a little longer. I'm just appreciative of that. I'm grateful for that. Prayer that moves God. Father, I ask you to prepare the hearts of everyone that will hear this message today. Prepare their hearts to receive it. And then help me to share it in a clear way that everybody will be able to understand it and receive what they should receive from it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ever wonder why some of your prayers aren't answered? There are many people that wonder that. In fact, there's even some that have given up praying because it hasn't worked. Their prayers weren't answered, so they quit praying. Maybe you're here under the sound of my voice that maybe this is what happened to you. You got discouraged and you quit praying. Why pray? It doesn't work anyway. But it does work. But what you must understand is there's a few things that need to be in place for God to answer your prayer. There's lots of reasons why God doesn't respond. Maybe there's something in our lives that prevents him from answering us. Maybe our request is not according to his will. The Bible says that we can ask amiss. We ask amiss. I think probably many of you know what an idea of a miss would be. Lord, help me win the lottery. I'll give a lot of it away. Yeah, right. That would be a miss. That's praying for a miss. And any other prayers are very similar to that. Lord, if you give me a new car, I'll haul a lot of the church people around. Yeah, right. Another miss. Prayers like that are misses. And those who pray them know that that's a mess. They're trying to test God to see what he'll do. I don't know why they pray such stupid prayers, but they do. For whatever reason, there's lots of reasons why God has delayed. My first year of Bible college in San Antonio, Texas, Reverend David Coote was the president. He was also taught the life of Christ. One of his quotes, phrases, he's in heaven now, but one of his quotes was this: God's delays are not his denials. Let me say that again. God's delays are not his denials. Now, for whatever reason God has for delaying, that's his business. And he does things well. Wouldn't you say he does all things well? So his delays aren't necessarily his denial. So we come to Acts chapter 12. We have here an example of how the Lord answered the fervent prayers of his people. And where it starts out in the chapter, King Herod. Now, Herod is a term that we use, president, is likened to the term we use as president. There were many Herods in the scriptures. The one that sticks out probably most important or most vividly, I should say, is Herod the Great. Herod the Great was responsible for building great, beautiful edifices all over. He was one that had built in Caesarea that I was able to see from my own eyes. Some of the beautiful blocks were still there when he He built the harbor in Caesarea. He built the temple in Jerusalem. Remember, the disciples took Jesus there, and while they were there, they pointed to the beautiful stones of the temple, and Jesus said, well, and you know, they will be destroyed. Not one stone will be left upon another. So this Herod was Herod Agrippa the First, and he was the grandson of Herod the Great. This Herod mistreated a lot of the believers in Jerusalem. Most of them he mistreated. He had James put to death, and the James that was put to death was the brother of the Thunder Brothers. Remember the Brothers of Thunder? The Lord called them Brothers of Thunder. James and John, he nicknamed Sons of Thunder. Remember that? Well, James was the first martyr that was killed, and he was John's brother, James. This is the James that was killed, put to death. Actually, he was beheaded. And so King Agrippa saw that it pleased the Jews, because many of the Jews hated the Christians and considered actually that they were a cult. And so he decided to put Peter also in prison, because he figured that that would also make the Jews happy. So he put Peter, assigned him to prison. It says the scripture was four squads of soldiers. That's four soldiers. That was one soldier on each side of Peter, and then the other two guarded the gate. They guarded the door of the prison. The other two were assigned to Peter. On each side of Peter, they were chained to him. These soldiers were changed every 6 hours, make sure there was fresh soldiers with Peter to make sure that the prisoner wouldn't get loose. There would be no falling asleep by the soldiers, so they were changed every 6 hours to make sure that the prisoner would continue to stay a prisoner. And that's what this was all about. This was the reading that we had. His intention was to bring Peter before the Jews after the Passover and then put him to death. But in response to that imprisonment, the Christians got together and they started to pray in Mary's house. Now, the teacher part of me wanted to know who the Mary was. Of course, it says it's John Mark's mother. What about Mary, the mother of Jesus? Why wasn't in her house? Well, because she's already dead. She already died. Mary was probably around 18 years of age. Joseph was much older, probably in his 40s. That's why the last time we hear anything about Joseph is when Jesus was age 12. That's the last time we hear of Joseph, and that's why we don't hear anything more past that time, because Joseph obviously was very much older. And of course, the light wasn't to shine on Joseph. The light was to shine on Jesus' heavenly father, not his earthly father. So that's why we don't see much information on Joseph, so we can assume he was probably much older. It's interesting, people didn't live as old in the New Testament era, in the New Testament time. It was actually average space of age was between 50 and 60. Mary was 50 years old. She died in 33 AD. Mary, I'm talking about the mother of Jesus. This Mary, they were in Mary's house, who was the mother of John Mark, and they were gathered there for a prayer meeting. Now, James had already been killed. This would have been around 44 AD. Our time here is probably somewhere between 45 and 46 AD. They were now facing the loss of Peter. In verse 5, it pretty sums it up. Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church of God. Well, we know that who the church of God was. Where two or three are gathered, that's a church. You know that. But it was those that had gathered. It says many were gathered together praying, is verse 12. Many were gathered. We don't know all who were there, but we know that they were all gathered. It was interesting. It's interesting that when Peter knocked at the door, the handmaiden went and she heard the voice, and she was that excited. She turned around, went back to tell him, and Peter's still knocking, you know. Let me in. Let me in. He's still knocking. It's what the scripture says. He kept knocking. He kept knocking, much like you do, Jed, at Scotty's house. He kept knocking. He just kept knocking. And that's what Peter did. That's what the scripture says he did. And so as they were gathered together there in Jerusalem, and they were praying, they believed that God was able to answer their prayer, and indeed he did. You know, this story is just so interesting, like I shared with you as we were reading it. Peter was sleeping. The angel had to get him awake. Isn't that something? He was sleeping. Angel had to get him awake, rouse him up, put your shoes on, get your sandals on. It's time to go. And I think that when the angel was speaking to him, I think that only Peter heard the angel. I don't think anybody else did. I think only Peter heard the angel. It's interesting how. And in fact, it must have been that way because Peter thought he'd seen a vision. He actually thought it was a vision. I mean, he was obviously sleeping, still trying to get himself awake, as what the scripture says. He was still trying to get himself awake. And then he realized, this isn't a vision. This is real. His chains dropped off of him. They dropped off. How amazing is that? And then the angel said, come, let's go. Let's go. Let's get out of here. Let's follow me. Let's go. Isn't that wonderful? Wow. Many today say they believe in God and they pray to him, but you see, in reality, their prayers are directed to a deity that they have created in their own minds. He suits their lifestyle. Now listen to me carefully. This God suits their lifestyle and is in agreement with whatever they request. It's a self-made God. This self-made God in their mind doesn't convict them of sin or unrighteousness, nor does it concern them about coming judgment. And if anyone questions them about the nature of their God and what they ask of him, they often get very defensive. And they declare that their religion is a private affair and no one else's business. Does that sound familiar to people today, the way they're living? Huh? In their own lifestyle? And they're praying, but guess what? Praying to the wrong God. Because the God they're praying to puts up with their lifestyle. But the God I serve says that lifestyle is wrong. It's wrong. You see, the one true God is holy and he's righteous. He hates sin and will one day judge everybody. He is the creator of the world. He's the one who condemned the earth by sending the flood. He has given us the Ten Commandments as his righteous standard, encouraging the Psalms of David as he gave inspiration. And the Psalms of David were written prophecies regarding the future through his prophets, and which our Bible study, we're looking at those prophecies. Wow, it's very interesting. He has given us his son Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, to whom we have forgiveness of our sins. Our God loves us unconditionally. He will not tolerate sin in our lives because he knows it is destructive. He alone has the power to answer our prayers and to fulfill those promises that I spoke about a few Sundays ago. He has given us promises of eternal life, to be able to live with him forever in heaven. Quite a contrast to the man-made God who has no power to answer, offers no assurance of heaven, but many people have discounted the reality of our Lord. They don't even believe in Jesus being the Son of God. It's amazing how many people even go to church, and there's churches that don't teach the divinity of Jesus. We discussed that, didn't we? Some believe Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene. We're talking about churches, folks. It's no wonder our nation's in the shape it's in when the churches are in the shape they're in. Hello? Amen. We better get awake. A lot of things happening, a lot of evil things happening today, and especially in our churches. Our churches are being more and more tolerant of these things. Listen, folks, God loves everybody, and we're to love everybody, but we're to hate sin. Don't you get comfortable with sin. lot of churches are getting cozy with sin. And when they pray, they ain't going to have no answers because they're praying to the wrong God, because the God they're praying to don't answer to this stuff. Are you listening to me? This is the day and age in which we're living. Offers no assurance. Have trouble believing that Jesus is the divine Son. They don't believe in hell. Don't believe in judgment. Their God is one of love who welcomes everyone to heaven. Everybody's going to heaven according to them. Everybody's going to heaven. I got news for you. They're not reading the same book I am. Because they just believe that everybody's going to heaven. Have no foundation. Their prayers are useless and have no effect in their lives, and so their lives remain the same, unchanged. Caught in the deception of their own life, they're deceived. Isn't the Bible say the God of deception is already at work? Paul said he's already at work. Lawlessness is already at work in his day. Paul said it. Prayer that moves God is fervently, is offered fervently. You see, from the human's perspective, there was no hope for Peter. Peter was going to be executed the very next day. That's why there were some at the prayer meeting thought, when the maiden said, "We heard Peter's voice at the door," they said, "Well, it must be his angel," because some of them already thought maybe Peter was already executed. He was to be executed the next day. "Well, maybe it's his angel," they said. That's what they said. And we're talking about Christians here that are praying. Bless their heart. I feel real comfortable with them because I'd be the same way. How about you? Huh? They're nothing special. They're just common people who have common doubts, just like you and me. And I feel right at home with them. I can fit right in with them. Maybe it's his angel. Really? They couldn't believe it, that it could be him. We were just praying about that. Well, yeah, you know, God does answer prayer. Hello? He does. Hello? That's what sounds like a prayer meeting that we have at our home. You know, God does answer prayer. Hello, folks. Come on. And that's what happened here. It's what I see. I'm not reading anything in here. This is what it is. They said, "You're mad, you're crazy, you're going to be kidding." No, but what were we praying for? I don't know. Wow. Hello. What'd you have a prayer meeting for? He's standing outside the door, he's still knocking. "Let me in, it's me, it's Peter." Yeah, I could just hear him banging on the door. "Let me in, it's me, it's not an angel, it's me." He kept knocking. Wow. He made his way. Peter knocked on the gate. Oh, she was so surprised she ran back to the group. Never left them in. After she went back, they probably said, "Well, let him in. He's still knocking." Tells me what the Bible says. Ask, you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. What? Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Peter was knocking. He was knocking. Well, he just kept knocking. Fervent prayer is motivated by love and a deep concern. It's offered with enthusiasm and faith. It isn't just a casual list of requests, and it's good that we have a prayer list. But this kind of prayer flows from the heart. It's a pressing need. When Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was in agony, and he prayed very fervently, according to Luke 22:44. He sweat, as it were, sweats of blood. He prayed very fervently. He was persistent. Persistent prayer doesn't stop asking. It doesn't stop seeking and doesn't stop knocking until God answers. It may involve requests for deliverance for a situation. It could include praying that the Lord would block or hinder someone from continuing down a dangerous or destructive path. Did you ever pray something like that? I bet you prayed for your kids that way. Lord, put a block in their way. Hinder them from continuing down this dangerous and destructive path. Stop it. Put a block in front of them. hinder them in some way. Aren't you glad you had somebody praying for you when you were a kid? Come on. I know you did. Somebody prayed for you. That's why you're here today. Because you had somebody praying for you. Someone prayed to put a block in your way so you wouldn't continue down that destructive road. Because the way you were headed wasn't good. It's not good. Mother would say, don't you play with fire, you get burnt. Mom and Dad loved you. They were concerned about you. That's why they prayed for you. And I believe that's why you're here today. Prayer that moves God is made according to his will and is in agreement with other believers. When we have a burden on our heart, we should seek somebody out who can pray with us, a prayer partner, one who will offer us encouragement and support and guidance and accountability. According to Matthew 18 and 19, God answers requests when two people agree in prayer about anything that's according to his will. I marked that. I want to actually read that in its entirety. I want to read that verse. 18 and 19. Again, I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, that they shall ask it, and it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven. Did you get that? If any two of you agree, your spouse, your friend, whoever, you can get somebody to agree with you about that. Would you agree with me about this particular thing in my life I'm having trouble with? Would you pray with me about this? You see, prayer is the most powerful thing we have. It's the most powerful thing we can do. God desires to answer our prayers. He desires when we come to him with a clean heart, but sin in our lives hinders our requests. The Lord will not answer petitions that help us to continue down a path of disobedience and destruction because that would not benefit us. So we should always seek to make requests according to God's desires, and we should ask him to block anything that interferes with his will for our lives. As we faithfully pray, he'll give us a discerning spirit to know the truth and insight that we need for life. Are you certain today that you're praying to the one true God? Have you redefined him according to your own desires? And many have. How does your perception of God compare with what he says about himself in his word? When was the last time you prayed fervently? Do your recent prayer requests align with God's will? Or does it align with your desires? Sometimes we want things that God doesn't want for us. I've said, Lord, if this is something that you don't think I should have, it's okay. Then I don't want it. It's okay, I don't want it. But If this suits your desire and your will, then, Lord, I'd like to have it. And I'm going to be one of those that's going to keep asking. Remember, when we have people come up here to be anointed, I say, don't matter how many times you have to ask, just keep coming. Peter kept knocking. That's sometimes what you got to do. You got to show God your persistence. How bad do you want this? Sometimes God's checking to see how bad you want it. How bad do you want this? How bad do you want to see the salvation of your children? How bad do you want it? Lord, I want it more than anything. I want it more than anything. You see my heart. I want my children to continue to serve you. And when I'm not here, I want them to continue to serve you. And keep them right here in the palm of your hand. Keep them right here in the palm of your hand, Lord. Keep them there. It's time to do communion.